reason I wanted to wait until now is hopefully that he's got this on the recording list where we can put it on the radio. We've got two letters from two prisoners in the prison right over here that has written to us thanking us for our radio broadcast. Our radio broadcast goes out on AM, but Marion has just recently went to an FM station. It's 103.9. Am I right on that? Somebody know? 103.9 on the FM. And it goes out every Sunday morning right now while we're actually preaching here. Now, while we're having service here, it's 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. So if you can't be here, let me say if you can't be here, make sure you are here, okay? But if you can't be here, then you can tune in, 11 o'clock. Am I right, bro? 11:30. I didn't think that sounded right. 11:30 every Sunday morning. And so with that FM station now, it's reaching out. And these two men, I'm going to call their names because I hope they're listening this morning. Matthew Outlaw is one of them, number 0512114. And also Jordan, and I hope I'm going to say his last name right, Mahaley, 138-2499. And I just wanted to do that. I felt like we need to mention that. If you want to read these letters, it'll be a blessing to your heart, church. I thank God that God's let us be a little part of His ministry. Because we're here this morning preaching the Word of God, recording it on the record back there, putting it out on the radio station. These men have written to us and said, boy, I sure do appreciate you having that radio broadcast. I sure do appreciate. One of them said it makes that 2 hours. Said just 2 hours that I get to listen to the radio and that 30-minute radio broadcast that I get to listen to you. Said it makes like them 2 hours just go by in a hurry. And I said, one of them said, I can't wait till the next Sunday morning to get to listen to the radio broadcast. I say glory to God for that. Amen. And I thought about it as we listened so many times and we listen to the radio and we just take it for granted, it seems like. And these men are clinging on to that. And God's taking the Word of God, reaching out into those hearts. And I thank God for that, amen. And I just say to those men, if they're listening, I just say to them, just keep on keeping on for the Lord, amen. Don't matter where you're at, I realize they may be in prison, but God's God of the prisons. God's the God of the hospitals. God's the God of the nursing homes. He's the God everywhere, amen. And I just want to say, just keep on trucking for Jesus, amen. You're in a good place where the light can shine. Just keep on trucking for the Lord, amen. If you want to read these letters, I would encourage you to read these letters. I'll hand them out to you as we go back and you can read them. I'd encourage you to do that. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. We'll read the scripture and then you can be seated. We'll try this to preach a little while this morning. Really don't know exactly how to title the message this morning, just to be totally honest with you. My first thoughts was this: run. Run. Amen. That's my first thoughts, and I guess that's where we'll go. Amen. And you'll see what I'm talking about here in just a minute as we get into this scripture. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth. Notice that statement there. That he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, for because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your long-suffering. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, we've had, God, just to be in your house this morning. We can leave right now saying it's been good to be in the house of God, already realizing, Father, that it has been a blessing from you that we're even able to raise our head today, even able to come into your presence. Boy, we sure do appreciate you this morning. We sure do. Thank you for the opportunity to come and meet together. Father, I pray, dear God, you'd help us this morning, God, as we stand. Lord, I help us to preach, Lord, as a dying man to a dying people. God, I pray. Oh, I'm begging you for fresh oil, fresh unction this morning. Oh, God, use us, Lord, for your glory and your honor. Lord, we pray. I can do nothing within myself, and you know that, Father. Lord, I beg you, God, today be the day. Oh, God, that you just help us to preach, Lord, with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, Lord, and in that preaching, somebody, Lord, would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, as we open the Word of God. You take it into us, Lord, and you'd illuminate it, open it up, feed it, Lord, I pray, out of your Word, off your table this morning, God, we pray. Oh, give me fresh oil and fresh unction here this morning. And Father, whatever's accomplished, I'll give you praise, glory, and honor for that you do. Now, for it's in Jesus' holy, precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to pick up in verse number 2 this morning. Well, actually in all these verses, I say that a lot of times, but I do want to look at all these verses. And I don't know if you've ever done much studying in the book of Habakkuk. A lot of people don't preach on it. You don't hear a lot of preaching on it. But boy, it's a sweet book. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a sweet book when you go to realize where he's at here. And Habakkuk is really, his ministry started kind of between Jeremiah and Ezekiel there. You can study the time frame there. But it was when Judah was getting ready to be took into Babylonian captivity there. Right in a dark time, if you will, in the nation of Israel's history there. And Habakkuk has the problem, if you will, or has the job or the duty, if you will, to proclaim a prophetic, I guess you'd say, message from God. And I guess I could look at this morning and say to you that's my duty again this morning, is basically to do the same thing and to tell you, thus saith the Word of God. Amen. But let me say this, I'm glad God allowed me an opportunity to be able to say, thus saith the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad this morning that he called me. I'm glad this morning that he allowed me that opportunity, and I sure do appreciate that. We look in this book, and I'm going to kind of try to lay the foundation. I'm not going to go back and read chapter 1, but I encourage you to read chapter 1 and come on up even to chapter 3 there. Small little book, read it when you go home. It'll be a blessing and a help to you. But I find here in chapter number 2 that Habakkuk here has actually stopped and he's had some problems. If you look back in chapter 1 there, you'll find that some of the problems that he had was the same problems that you and I have today. I looked at some of this scripture here and I thought, wow, how exactly it's exactly what we're going through today. I do want to go back to chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 4 through 4 there. I want you to read along with me and see if this don't sound kind of familiar to you. He says, verse 1 there, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not say, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Don't that sound like some reading a newspaper? Amen. Wickedness on every hand, I'm telling you. Iniquity all over the place. He says there in verse 4 there, he said the law is slacked. In other words, the law can't do nothing about it. Amen. I believe we're there. Say amen. I believe we're there. I believe as we look around, the law is trying to do its best, and the law enforcers are trying to do their best, but there's no help. There's no help anywhere around. He's talking about his people, the children of Judah, who he's talking about. And I can say to you this morning, I'm talking about the world out there, if you will, America, if you will, North Carolina. I'm talking about all around us. We've got a problem today, church. Amen. We've got a problem today, and that problem is sin. Amen. That problem is nothing more than sin. Me and Brother Stephen is talking back there about a minute ago about Granny. He's talking about it, and I told him there a minute ago, I said, my Granny is the reason that I am here today, because my Granny, I went to church with her, and because she taught me the Bible, if you will, I believe that's the reason I'm here today. I'm here today because of Mom and Daddy kept me in church, amen, and taught me the Word of God.
God. And I say to you this morning, amen, as I look at this, we need more of that today, amen. We need more of the Word of God in our homes, amen. I do believe that. And we look in there, and old Habakkuk here, he has stopped and he's saying to the Lord there, he's saying, you showed me all this. You let me see all this going on. Why have you not done something? Amen. I believe that's what Habakkuk said. He's got a problem, and he's even asking God the question, Lord, why are you not doing something? You know, every one of us, I believe, if we'll be honest with ourselves, would say the same thing. Amen. We look around and we see how the wicked rage, if you will, and we look around and we say, Lord, why ain't you doing something? Amen. Those that are killing babies every day, Lord, why ain't you doing something? Amen. This homosexual crowd, Lord, why ain't you doing something? Amen. I mean, that iniquity everywhere around. And we would ask ourselves a question, Lord, why ain't you doing something? Well, I'm going to be honest with you right here. The more I study about this, the more I say, I'm glad he ain't. Amen. I'm glad he ain't. You say, preacher, why is that? Because if God's wrath comes on them, amen, there's no more hope. Amen. Amen. Just because he's not doing something don't mean he ain't doing something. Amen. You say, preacher, that don't make no sense. Well, just because his wrath ain't coming, you know what's happening? Mercy and grace and long suffering, amen, is being bestowed upon every one of us. Amen. And we can't look down our pharisaical nose at anybody. We ought to be in the same place. Amen. But it's because of the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. Oh, Habakkuk here, he has a problem, he thinks. He has a problem in his mind. He looks around and he sees the condition of Judah there, sees where they're at. And he says, Lord, why ain't you doing something? And the Lord's going to answer him here in a minute, okay? We'll get there in just a minute. I thought about number two. He's got a problem because of wickedness all around. But not only that, if you'll look in the scriptures here, in verses 12, about verses 12 and 13 in chapter 1, you'll find he's got another problem. God's using the Chaldeans here to punish Judah. In other words, he's bringing them against Judah, and he's punishing them because of this, and he can't understand. Well, Lord, why are you letting the heathen rage? Why are you letting them overtake your people? Amen. And notice with me in verse 12 here. He says, art thou not from everlasting to everlasting? O Lord, my God, mine Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he? Anybody ever ask the question, why does the wicked prosper? Amen. Why do they, you know, we look around and those that don't care what they do, I mean, those that don't care who they hurt, those that don't care who they tear down, it seems like they're the ones that prosper. Amen. I'm reminded of Jeremiah chapter number 12 over there, I believe it is. Jeremiah the prophet said the same thing. Said, why in the world does the wicked prosper? Amen. And that's always been a question that the righteous maybe would ask. But you know, every time that question gets asked, you know what the answer is to it every time? It's because God is God, and what God does, he's righteous, amen. And we just need to trust in him, amen. We just need to give him glory. So he asked two different questions here, two different problems, if you will, that Habakkuk just cannot understand. He just can't fathom why all this is going on. I believe I'm preaching to some folk this morning, maybe on the sound of my voice, or maybe in the congregation, that's the same way, just looking around. You just can't understand what's going on. Can't understand why. Well, can I tell you this morning, his thoughts are much greater than our thoughts. His ways are so much greater than our ways. We wonder sometimes, and I'm Baptist too, okay? We all get into them pity parties. Say amen right there. You can say amen or owe me one, whichever one you ought to, amen. We get in pity parties, oh, woe is me, oh, woe is me. Hey, we ought to say, glory to God, he's been good to me. Amen, I appreciate these testimonies this morning. Appreciate that song, sis. He's been good to me. Amen, he's been good to me, thank God. I'm glad he's blessed me this morning. I'm just glad he's been good to me, amen. Oh, Rebecca here, he's got these problems. In chapter number 1, he goes to God with these problems. He takes him to God, if you will, and tells him his problems, tells him what he's seeing, tells him what the world looks like, if you will. And then notice chapter 2, verse number 1. We'll get into the message. Chapter 2, verse number 1. He just decides he's just going to wait and see. I look at this and I almost see a little bit of frustration in Rebekah's voice. I look at this and I almost see a little bit of, if you will, he's getting tired of watching this. I believe I'm preaching the folk this way, okay? I'm reminded of the scripture over there in the book of Genesis. I believe it is where they saw, where it says in there that the people were much discouraged because of the way. Everybody remember that scripture? I believe we got there. Amen. I believe there's a lot of people today, especially a lot of Christian people, that just get discouraged just by the way. Amen. But you know what happens when we get discouraged? It's because we fail to look at God. We fail to watch Him and let Him lead, let Him guide. Amen. And old Rebekah here this steps up and he says this, verse number 1 of chapter 2. Says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and we'll watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I don't believe he's in the wrong place here when I look at this. I believe Rebekah's right exactly where he needs to be. Amen. He gets up there and he looks at this, and I'm going to be honest with you. I told you his problems there, but I like this. I want to entitle this, Rebekah's Persistence. He wasn't giving up, amen. In other words, he took his problems to God, and what he did, notice with me that scripture, he said, I will stand upon my watch. You know what you need to do when you get discouraged? When you feel frustrated like that, just stand on your watch. Don't give up, amen. Don't quit doing it, amen. Listen to me this morning. Don't quit the watch, amen. Just stand up on that watch and do what God's called you to do, amen. Don't give up. Just keep on keeping on, amen. Church, listen to me. Ain't no place to give up, amen. We got to keep on keeping on, amen. We may get discouraged. We may get down and out. Oh, but listen, God can help us, amen. If we'll just stand there watch, amen, He'll take care of it, amen. Every now and then He'll send a breeze by. Every now and then He'll send a little help by, amen, and we're able to stand our watch, amen. That's what it was to me this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. It seemed like it's been a pretty rough week, and I'm going to be honest with you. I struggled with this message. I said, Lord, are you sure you want me to preach this message? And boy, they come by and they give me them two letters this morning, and I don't know about you, that stirred my heart, amen. That was a breeze from a far country, and I thought, I got back there in my office and I just had to lay them letters out there. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, just let me stand my watch. Amen. Just let me stand my watch. Amen. Just let me stand and proclaim the word. Amen. Church, I'm asking you to do the same thing. Whatever God's called you to do, just stand your watch and do it. Amen. Let's don't give up. It may look bad out there. It may look bad. We may think the world has got the best of us. We may think the world's going to win. But you listen to me. I've done read the back of the book. Amen. We win. Amen. We've got the victory today. Amen. And I believe today, thank God, we ought to stick and we ought to stand with the stuff. We ought to preach the word. Amen. And we ought to stand our watch. Amen. Oh, listen, what else did he do? Look at verse number 1. He said, I will stand my watch. Notice this. And set me upon the tower. Oh, it's going to get good. And set me upon the tower. He said, not only am I going to do what I'm supposed to be doing, he said, but I'm going to get in the right place to do it. Amen. You listen to me. We can set our minds and our hearts that we're going to do what God tells us to do all we want to. But until we get where God wants us to be, we'll never do that. Amen. We'll never get to that place. Oh, but when we get to the place where God wants us to be, amen, we'll be able to stand our watch and we'll be able to do what God wants us to do. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, if you will. Chapter number 18. Book of Psalms, chapter number 18 and verse number 2, I believe it is. Turn with us there. I want to read this and I want you to read it with me because I want every one of us to see this. I'm talking about his persistence now. I'm talking about we got to stand our watch, but the only way that we're going to stand our watch is we got to get in the right place, and that's up on the tower. Notice verse number 2 in the Psalms, chapter number 18. Find your place, say amen. All right, the Bible says here, let's read verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation. Notice this, and my high tower. Amen. That's the place we ought to be. I preached a message a while back, it's been a pretty good while ago, about the tower. And how when you're standing up on that tower, boy, you can see things are coming. Amen. You can see when the enemy attacks. Hey, listen, you know why we fail to the enemy a lot of times? It's because we're not up on God's tower to where we can see it coming. Amen. He comes by, the old enemy comes by, and the next thing you know, man, he's hit you and you're down. And the reason is because you've got off God's high tower. Amen. If you'll stay up on that tower, amen, they can't get to you. Amen. You can see them coming out there. But listen to me, I thought about this also. It takes a lot of effort to get up to you when you're on that tower. Amen. The old devil knows what he can do. Amen. He knows when he can take you down when he can. And if you're off that tower, you're not where God wants you to be, he will take you out. Amen. But listen, we just need to get on that high tower. Set my feet on that high tower and just do, hey, stay my watch. Amen. That's what I want you to see this morning, is just stay your watch. Oh, yes, it may be dark. Yes, it may be wickedness, iniquity everywhere. But we ought to stand there, watch, and stand on that tower. Amen. Notice with me the next part of that verse, back in Habakkuk there, chapter 2, verse 1. He says this. He said, and will set me upon the tower. Notice this. And will watch to see. And will watch to see. In other words, he's looking out. He's watching. What are you doing in the high tower, preacher? You look out. Amen. You look all over the place. As I said a minute ago, you want to see the enemy coming, don't you? But I want you to read what he says here. This ain't what Rebecca said. Rebecca's not looking for the enemy. Read with me here, okay? I'm going somewhere with this. Rebecca's not looking for the enemy. If you'll read what he's saying here, he says this, and we'll watch to see what he will say unto me. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for the Word of God. Amen. He's... Boy, it's getting bigger now. He's looking for the Word, amen. You know what we need to look for? We don't need to put our eyes on our enemies. We just need to look to God. He'll take care of our enemies. Amen. He'll fight them, amen. Thank God. I like to see him coming, but I'm going to be honest with you. We just need to wait and see what God will speak to us, amen. Hey, I love that still small voice, amen. I love it when God talks to us, amen. When he speaks to us, amen. We ought to get on that high tower and just listen for his voice, amen. Oh, Elijah got a little downhearted and discouraged too. He went up there on the mountain, and boy, God spoke to him, but he didn't speak to him in the whirlwind. He didn't speak to him in the earthquake. He didn't speak to him in the fire, but what he spoke to him in that still, small voice. And I'm going to be honest with you, church, when you get to that place on that high tower, that still, small voice will come in your heart, and it'll speak to you, and it'll help you and carry you on, amen. Oh, we can stand there and watch if we get on that tower. What we got to do is get up there and just listen for his voice, amen. Listen for his voice. But listen, one more thing in that. Notice with me. He said, and listen, if you will, or watch there, to see what he will say unto me. Notice this. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for reproof. He's looking for reproof. He's looking. He's done looked at God and said, God, why? He's done looked at God and said, God, why does the heathen rage? Why is this wickedness and all this going around? He said, God, why are you letting these Chaldeans here take and destroy your people and harm your people? Why are you letting all this happen? And you know what? He's standing up there. He's keeping his watch. He's standing there on that high tower, and he's waiting for God to listen for God's voice, and he's looking for reproof. He's getting ready. He thinks he's getting ready to have God rebuke him. Show it to me in the Word where he did. I don't find it in there. He begins to tell him what's going on. He begins to tell him what's going to happen. He begins to tell him that this prophecy that he is writing here, that it will come to pass. But nowhere will you find that God rebukes him for asking. Amen. Listen, God won't rebuke you for asking. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts before you even asked him. Amen. It ain't a bad thing to ask God why. Amen. Listen, his thoughts are so much greater than our thoughts. He says in Matthew over there, he said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Listen, if he cared for you asking, he wouldn't have put that in the Bible. Amen. Listen, so we expect reproof, but there ain't none coming. Amen. Why? Because he's standing his watch. He's on the high tower. He's where he's supposed to be with God. And he's listening for the word of God. Amen. Oh, I'm glad this morning I can say that God knows my heart. He said, preacher, if you had times that you asked God why, you better believe it. You better believe it. Me and my wife's talking the other night. We was down in Morganton down there, and we was sitting at the dinner table, supper table. And we had somebody remember back a few months ago, a few years ago, had some folks come into church, and boy, it wasn't long. They went coming very regular, and we thought they was going to join with us. And boy, it wasn't just maybe the next week we left, and I remember it was clear as day. I'm going to be honest with you, clear as day. Me and her went over into Pigeon Forge over there on vacation, and we got a phone call. My phone rung that morning. It said, preacher, the husband had got killed in a car wreck down on 70. I said, oh, God, surely not. I mean, they're sweet family, right? I mean, I'm telling you, just the sweetest family. And I had to stand back and say, why? Why, God, why? I had the opportunity and the privilege, I call it, I guess, but the privilege of being able to stand. And my brother had a little baby born dead, and I had to stand and hold a funeral over that little baby. And I said, God, why? Why in the world? But you know, the whole thought every time I've had is, I've got control. I've got control. Amen. I've got control in this. It's not wrong to ask God why, church. But it's wrong when we don't trust Him. Amen. You agree with me? Say amen. You tighten it down on me, okay? I believe I'm right here. Amen. It's not wrong to ask Him why, but it's wrong when we don't trust Him. That's what's happening right here in this scripture. Habakkuk can't understand why. You may have something going on in your life you just can't understand. You don't know why it's going on. Listen, it's not wrong to ask why, but it's wrong when you don't trust God with it. Amen. When you don't just give it to Him and let Him handle it, because He can handle it. Amen. And He's already got it under control. Amen. Notice with me in verse number 2 here. He says this, and I'll try to hurry. Verse number 2 says, and the Lord answered me. Ooh, glory to God when the Lord answers you. Who was it I was talking to last night? I don't even remember who it was. Might be Brother Andy. I don't remember. I said, me and him was talking. I said, boy, it's a rough time when the Lord don't answer you. You get on your knees and you begin to pray. And it seems like your prayers go about that far off the ground. You can't feel the power of God nowhere. Can't feel the presence of God nowhere. That's a bad place to be. But boy, when you can ask a question and God answers you, you ought to say, glory to God. Amen. Do you realize what a privilege it is for the God of heaven to come by your way and answer you after you've called out to Him and cried out to Him, and He comes by and give you an answer? You realize what a privilege that is. Listen, we don't even deserve to be here. We ought to be in hell. But yet He comes by and He answers us. Amen. Oh, thank God for the voice of God. Amen. He says there in that scripture, and the Lord answered me. Oh, praise God for that. He says, write a vision, write the vision, and make it plain upon the tables. Notice this, that he may run that readeth. Now I'm going to get into the message. I've done preached for an hour and a half. I'm going to get ready for the message, okay? That he may run that readeth. What he's saying here is, in essence, this, is that, yes, his wrath is coming one of these days. Judah is getting ready to be taken into Babylonian captivity. There is judgment coming upon Judah. That's the fact of the matter. Judgment is on the way. And if you read the scriptures right here in verse number 3, he says this, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, it's coming up. He said, but at the end, it shall speak. In other words, you're going to find out it's going to be true and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. We've got evidence. You've got evidence in history. You've got evidence in the Word of God that it actually happened, did it not? Judgment came. And what he's saying here, if you notice in verse number 2, he says, write this down, that whoever reads it before that day comes, run. Huh? What's he saying, preacher? Run. Well, preacher, where do I run to? To God. Run to God. Amen. This word run, I looked it up there. When I got it there in the Strong's Concordance, I looked it up and it meant to stretch out. To stretch out. I wished I could run. I know if I try to run from here, I know I'm going to break something, so it ain't going to happen, okay? But it means like a runner and stretch out. Taking them long strides. In other words, get out of there as quick as you can. Judgment's coming. Get out as quick as you can. Are we not living in those days? I believe we're living in the last days. I believe God could come this evening. I believe He could come before I finish this message. I believe that. Amen. Listen, just because He ain't come now don't mean He ain't coming. Amen. That verse right there, amen, just confirms it. Amen. He's on the way. Amen. Hey, listen to me. And the only thing we can do is run. Run to God. Listen, if you're not saved this morning, I'd run to God. Judgment's coming. Judgment's on the way. Listen, I'd run to God if I didn't know for sure I saved. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know 150% that you've been saved by the grace of God, you need to be running down this altar and you need to be running to God. I believe also, if I thought for a minute that God was coming and His judgment was coming and I was saved, I believe I'd rather be running getting this altar for those that ain't saved. Amen. And you might have something in your life that ain't right. You might not be up on the tower where you need to be. You might need to start running yourself. Amen. Run to the altar. You ever remember somebody that, I can remember several in my ministry. We give an altar call, see them get out of the pews. Boy, they couldn't wait to get to the altar. There's almost a running. Big old tears coming out of their eyes, a sobbing, and they'd run and fall in the altar. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen, He says right there to run. Amen. I believe we ought to be running. If we think God's coming, listen, if we think His judgment's coming, we ought to be running. Listen, we've got loved ones that's dying and going to hell every day. And unless we listen to me very closely, unless we run to God with them, unless we carry them to God, listen, they may die and go to hell for eternity. We need to be running. Amen. I do believe that. He says, now write this thing. Write this prophetic picture. Write this vision that those that read it may run. I'm glad to say to you this morning, you listen to me very closely right here. Listen, God's still on the throne. There's still time. Preacher, how you know that? Because I'm still here. And there'll be time, amen, until God takes out His church. We go out here with the Holy Ghost, and then it'll be too late. The judgment will be coming. Listen to me this morning. I believe we've got time. I believe we ought to be running, getting older, amen. I believe we ought to be begging God for our loved ones, but I believe also if we're not saved, I believe you better be running, getting saved, amen. Listen to me. Notice verse 4, and I'll close here. We've looked at Habakkuk's problems, Habakkuk's persistence. But let's think about this. Where's Habakkuk's power at? His power. Notice verse 4. Well, I wanted to get over into the rest of this chapter, but it ain't going to happen. He says here, behold. In other words, stop and look. I want to stop just for a minute. That word there, always, when I read that in the Bible, I like to stop and be very careful that we point that out, because God, through the Holy Ghost, has had this man, Habakkuk, to write this down and pin this down and say, behold. Stop and look, okay? Be careful with this. Stop and look. Notice what he says. This is his power. He says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Well, preacher, who's he talking about? Well, I read after a few commentaries, and I'm going to be honest with you. Me and my brother were talking about this the other night. I'm about to get fed up with commentaries, because it seems like every time I go to a commentary and get to a verse, I want to find out a little bit what somebody else thinks about it. I can't find nothing in it. And then when I do go to a verse where that they do want to say something about it, I disagree with them. So I'm about ready to chunk them all. Amen. Amen. This right here is the truth anyway. Amen. But as I looked at this, I thought, one writer said, well, he's talking about the Chaldeans, that their heart is not right. Their heart is lifted up, and therefore it is not right in them. Well, I want to say this. I believe he's talking about all of them. I believe in that verse right there. I don't think we can separate them, because I believe Judah is right exactly in the same place. Judah's in sin, amen, and his soul is lifted up. If he wasn't in sin, his soul wouldn't be lifted up. You know why? Let me go ahead and nail this down right here. God nudging my heart right here. You know why we get into sin? Because you get bigger than God is. Amen. You get prideful in your heart, and you get to say, well, God didn't know what he's talking about, and I ain't going to obey God. I'm going to rebel against him, and I'm going to do what I want to do. God help you if you've done that. Amen. You children, you shouldn't do that to your mom and daddy either. Amen. Ain't no, let's rebel. The Bible talks about great sin. I believe that's rebellion. Amen. That's what it is. And I believe that's exactly where we get sometimes when we rebel against God. Our heart's not right. Would you agree with me and say amen? And that comes with the heathen. That comes with the Chaldeans. That comes with Judah. That comes with the Babylonians. That comes with America today. That comes with us in the church. Amen. I believe it goes to all of us. Amen. Notice what he says there. He says this, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, or prideful if you will, is not upright in him. I'm preaching to some folks this morning that the heart might not be right. If your soul inside of you has been lifted up, you've got pride in your heart, you ain't right with God. I'm sorry, that's the book, amen. We ain't right with God. If our heart's been lifted up, listen, we ain't right with God. Oh, preacher, you mean churches can get there? You better believe it. You better believe it, amen. I believe it happens. You look around, I've had preachers come to me and try to tell me what they've done. They've done this and they've done that. No, they ain't. What's happened? They got their heart lifted up and their soul's not right, amen. Listen, we need to understand this morning that we have absolutely nothing without him. What God's trying to get Habakkuk to see here. Again, this is God speaking, okay? This ain't Habakkuk speaking. This is God speaking back and replying to Habakkuk here. And when he replies back to him there, he says that if the soul is lifted up in man, he's not upright. He's not righteous. He's not right with God. Church, I'm just going to be totally honest with you right here, and I'm preaching to you my heart this morning. Listen, I'm giving you what God gives me. Listen to me very closely. If our heart gets lifted up inside of us, we're not right with God. I praise God for what he's doing around Pentecostal Baptist Church. Boy, I do. I love you all. I love what God's doing. And I'm going to be honest with you. I go back again. Chad and Leslie didn't know what they're doing. Them two letters, listen, them two letters that sent us this morning, that's helped me more this morning, I'm telling you. But you know what? In my old flesh, you know what I could do? I could say to myself, boy, I'm helping somebody. Boy, our church is doing good. We're sending out money. We're sending it out there. Boy, we're making progress. We're doing good. I could say that, amen. But if I said that, I wouldn't be right in my heart. I wouldn't be right here. We wouldn't, anybody wouldn't, amen. All we can say is, God, thank you for letting me be a little part of your ministry. Boy, I sure didn't deserve it, but thank you for taking this little old measly thing, this little old boy off Turkey Cove, and just letting me work for you just a little bit, amen. Listen, we ought to give him glory, amen. We can't be lifted up. His power, listen to me closely, is that he's not lifted up. His power is when he's not boasting of himself. His power is when he realizes he can do nothing with on his own. Paul in the scriptures over there in many places, Paul says, I crucify the flesh daily. Paul said another place, I am what I am because of the grace of God. He said in another place there, he said, when I'm weak, that's when you're strong. He also said in another place, he said, the things I want to do, he said, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. In other words, what he was saying was Paul had no strength of his own. We have no strength of our own. We got to realize that. Amen. We got to realize that. But look with me, if you will, in the last part of this. And I brought you all the way around to this right here. This has been the thought on my heart. But the just shall live by his faith. Wow. I'm going to be honest with you, this has been on my heart ever since yesterday. The just shall live by his faith. Now, God give me this thought, so I'm hoping I can portray this to you the way he gave it to me. So I want you to listen closely to what I'm going to say here, okay? Listen closely. I think a lot of times that when we read that scripture, it's mentioned three other times in the Bible. The book of Romans, the book of Hebrews, and one other place I can't remember, one other place. But he says in that scripture, the just shall live by his faith. And we think in our minds that that's having faith in, if you will, when we get saved. And I believe we could look at it as, yes, that probably we could put it there. But I want to go a little farther than that. The just shall live by his faith. And what he's saying here in the context is this, that yes, God is working. Yes, God's allowing all this to happen. And yes, Habakkuk's looking at all the world, looking at his problems out there, looking at how bad it is. Yes, Habakkuk is up on the high tower. He's just standing his watch. He's just doing what God wants him to do there. He's standing up there doing what God's told him to do. Listen, and he's asked God these things. He's asked all of it, if you will. But when God comes down and tells him and answers him, he says, the just shall live by his faith. In other words, in the faith that he's got it all. It's all in his hand. Listen to me, church. Show me one thing in your life, one thing in your life that is not in God's hands. Listen to me closely. I'm closing here in just a minute. One thing we think. We live in a controlled society. And we think, boy, we've got this in control. We think we've got everything right at our fingertips. I done said the other day, one of these days we're going to have cars that's going to drive themselves. But they ain't driving me nowhere, okay? I got control of that car. I'm going to have control of that car. Say amen. Ain't going to happen, amen. Ain't going to happen. But show me one thing God ain't got in control. I'm going to use this illustration. God just nudging my heart with it here. Miss Linda left our celebration last night. Her and Don got in the car, drove to the house. And she thought for sure in her heart and in her mind, she probably even last night, knowing Linda, she got her stuff ready to get up and come to the house of God this morning. But instead of being in the house of God this morning, she's laying in Grace Hospital emergency room. You think that caught God by surprise? But God knew it. He knew what was going on. She couldn't change. I don't know where she failed. I don't know how she failed. But she couldn't stop it. She had no control. Everything that we have in our lives, we have no control over. God's given me breath this morning. I can take a deep breath. It's because God. The just shall live by his faith. Everything that we have, the money that I have, God's given me. The means that God's given me, the means he's given you, it's God. Amen. God looked out through the eons of time from the foundation of the world and seen you and I is going to need a Savior. Seen that you and I is going to be wicked and defiled and full of iniquity, wretched sinners, amen. And looked down through the eons of time and said, oh, Mark's going to need a Savior. Oh, Mark, when he comes to the age of accountability, he's going to need a Savior. And when he gets to 14 years old, I'm going to have the Holy Ghost go down there and draw him. I'm going to have the Holy Ghost touch him. And the Holy Ghost, I'm going to save him. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God the just shall live by his faith. Amen. It ain't about our power. We shouldn't be built up. Listen, we've got nothing to merit. We've got nothing to brag about. Amen. Nothing whatsoever. But it's all in him. Amen. It's all in God. He's got it under control. And I believe the just, listen to me, the just shall live by his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you this morning, in the last hour, has probably failed God? Wait, let me back up and say it this way. How many of you failed God yesterday? I'm going to raise both my hands. If you don't raise your hand, you're lying on me, okay? Every one of us will raise our hands, amen. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, amen. Every one of us, listen to me, every one of us, but God has already knew that. God knew exactly what you was going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do the next day. He knows what you're going to do the next day, and he's already paid for that. The just shall live by his faith. That's Habakkuk's power. Habakkuk had problems, Rebekah lived in a wretched world and had problems and could not understand, just like you do. Could not understand. But Rebekah was persistent, and he said, I'm just going to stand my watch. I'm going to stand upon that high tower. I'm going to ask God these questions, and I'm going to see what God will reply to me. And God answered him and said this, judgment is coming. Judgment will be here. Just hang on, it's coming. He said, but until then, the just shall live by his faith. How are you going to live, church? I believe we need to live by our faith. I believe we need to live by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wished I had time to go on over into the rest of this scripture. I don't have time, but you'll find in the next part of this chapter here, you read it when you go home, there was five woes that was pronounced. Five woes that was pronounced. And I wished I had time to go into them. They went from dishonesty to idolatry to all kinds of ungodliness. But right in the midst of it all, and it's amazing to me that right in the midst of this book, God looks at Habakkuk the prophet and says, the just shall live by his face. By his faith, excuse me. I believe when he turned his face to the Lord and sought the Lord, that that's all Habakkuk needed to hear. We can ask questions and we think we should get answers. But I'm going to be honest with you, the only thing we need to hear this morning is the just shall live by his faith. Having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know your heart this morning, and I don't claim to know. Each and every one of us in here this morning, I guarantee you, has different needs. We live different lives. We go to different places. We have different troubles and different cares. I realize that. There's no doubt in my mind. But listen, He has got it all. He takes care of it all. The just shall live by His faith. Let's stand.